You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Welcome to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. Our calling number, area code 909-265-9189, 909-265-9189. If you're new, I'll say it again. Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. All right, got it? Yeah. All right, so before I get started on the show, I usually like to tell you what's going on the show and what happened last week. So on today's show, we have author Alice Walker versus Alicia Keys, the singer, the R&B Grammy Award-winning Alicia Keys. She is kind of in a little controversy from another open letter. I'm sure Finesse is going to have a little moment with the open letter. We have that, and we have R&B singer Miguel versus black judgment, just some comments that he made about black people and their judgment, and a commercial with the Cheerios commercial. I just have a couple of questions about that, but it's a Cheerios commercial about, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's just kind of nuts to me. We have that and more. So I just want to welcome you again to Black on Black Crime. And if you missed last week's show, just go check it out in the archives at espriradio.solosyracuse.com/BOBC. That's espriradio.solosyracuse.com/BOBC. On last week's show, Dillard University president versus music mogul Andre Young, or Dr. Dre. He had a little problem. We talked about Decoration Day versus Memorial Day. It was kind of interesting. And we had a preview of the movie Baggage Claim on the show. So if you want to check that out in the archives again, it is espriradio.soulofsyracuse.com if you want to check that out. Now, I wanted to start off the show by doing a little bit of news and talking about some of the things going on in the world, or I guess over the weekend, or came in over the weekend. The prestigious American Ballet Theater's first black soloist in 20 years will take the stage this week, but it's only the tip of the iceberg in an unlikely groundbreaking life of ballerina Misty Copeland. Now, she hits the stage at La Cossière at the Metropolitan Opera House tomorrow, and she is amazing, by the way. I have seen her performances, but I haven't seen her live. But in addition to her age and her skin color, Misty Copeland stood apart from her peers as she quickly rose the ranks of the world's best dancers because of her physique. Where most ballerinas are extremely slim, Copeland is curvaceous. Just a few months ago, after a severe fracture and a subsequent surgery to correct a nearly career-ending injury, she is now back, now in the midst of great success, and Copeland wants to position herself as a role model for dancers of color. Now, she says for young African Americans to feel that they have a chance to see a brown face on stage, that ballet isn't a white world that is untouchable to them. She said, "I think having a visual does so much, and I think it's so important for them to see me and to hear me." So Copeland turned a comedic ballet called Le Cossière. It runs from June 4th to June 8th at the Met at the New York City Metropolitan Opera House. the Metropolitan Opera House. So if you're in New York City, go check out Misty Copeland. I just wanted to share that. It's not because I think she is gorgeous, because she is gorgeous, but it's not just because of that. It's because Misty Copeland is very positive, and, you know, over the years and seeing her, she's done her thing and making her name known in her first. Now, we also have a story about Donovan McNabb. He is going to be a soon Hall of Famer, Donovan McNabb, but he told the New York Post that he thinks Redskin quarterback RG3, that's Robert Griffin III, has too much going on in his life as he continues to recover from his knee surgery. Now, McNabb, he attempted to reach out to Griffin last season, told the Post that Griffin's recent actions may start to become a circus and a sideshow. McNabb said that it's too much right now. It's just too much. I get some of the things that he's doing to draw attention to himself, the Adidas commercials, going out and enjoying the life of a young, famous NFL quarterback. He said, I understand RG has a lot of stuff going on. One thing that Andy Reid did is to never let the injured guys become the story if they were about to take away from practice. So McNabb just kind of told the story. Now, if you don't know, Donovan McNabb is not playing in NFL right now. He's doing coverage of this. So he made the story. I know a lot of people are kind of hating on him, but McNabb was just referring to his former Philadelphia Eagles coach when he had a knee injury. He said his old coach said that he thought it took away from the guys who were grinding and practicing every day. He said, I don't blame him. They're letting him do it. But at some point, it can be counterproductive. You can set yourself up for criticism later. So he was just trying to give some advice to RG3. This wasn't an open letter, and it wasn't criticism of RG3. So we don't want to hear this, because we have some open letters on this show that we're going to talk about. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. Our call-in number, 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. You can join in. I am slow on opening up the chat room today. That is my fault, my bad. So we're going to open up the chat room. For those people who are already in, just refresh your screen. The chat room is now open, so you can put your questions and comments there. For those of you guys who are on the line listening to the show, you can hit 1 on your dial, and we can bring you in if you have a question or comment about any of the stories that we're going to do today. Again, black on black crime is when black people overtly criticize, analyze, or critique black people in areas that they won't consider anyone else. On this show today, we have author Alice Walker versus Alicia Keys. We also have R&B singer Miguel versus Black Judgment is what we're calling it, but it's when he's criticizing black judgment. And we also have some side stories. We have entertainment news, entertainment updates, and more. You can send your comments to bbc@solasyracuse.com. If there's some comments that you would like to bring up on the show or some topics that we haven't crossed yet. So as we get started in the show, let me bring on one of our partner in crimes, Finesse, on the board. How you doing, Finesse? What's going on?
What's up, Esprit? And I just want to say this. We ride together.
Oh, no. Nope. Don't get put on mute soon as you get on the show.
He wants to bring us. All I said was, we ride together, we die together. Bad
no,
boys
this is not bad boys. This, no. No, that's a movie. Now, when Kai comes on the board, okay, that's going to be another story. This does not apply to Kai. I'm talking about you and going off of the rails on this program. Finesse is on the island. Finesse is your friend that you say, look, you need to act right, don't touch nothing, don't say nothing. And when he does, you just go, that's Finesse. So that's where Finesse is. He tried to take us with him.
Until we get that segment by itself, we ride together.
Oh, I forgot. So Finesse is still, if you remember the earlier shows, Finesse does have a sound-off segment that we haven't let him have in months. So technically he's going to take the whole show with him until he gets his segment back. I see where this is going. But since Finesse has no control over that, I'm bringing in my girl, columnist and author, Kai Sims. Hey, girl.
Hey, what's happening?
Chaos.
I can tell by the opening.
Hey, Kai,
this is going to be fun.
Kai is the Tia Leone of the group.
Oh, see, this is not bad boy.
Tia Leone.
No, we're not going to sell Kai out. Kai, you don't have to join in to finesse shenanigans.
You said we ride together, we die together.
No.
Bad boy
that
for
just
life.
That just means he doesn't want us to tell on him. You know, he's like, he said no.
You can tell on me, but we all ride together.
Nope, we not.
Bad boy, bad boy.
We'll be doing I'm a summer number day.
Okay, you know what? He's about to get mute on early. He's about to get his mute early. Nope, so until Finesse gets his segment back that he gets the sound off, he wants to take the whole show with him, Kai. That's all this is about.
We are going down in flames, huh?
We talked before the show.
I'm just saying.
Oh, God.
I can't be the only one getting in trouble. We all together.
Nope.
That's the way to start the show, though.
So when Commission comes on, she gets to regulate this. And I'm telling you, we don't ride together. No, we don't
die. That's all right. I have my own Commission.
We each going in separate cars. Is that what you're saying?
No. You can ride with me. We talk about Finesse getting back in the scooter. Like, we got to put Finesse in the back. Cause have you ever gone across the border, right? Like, you go to Canada or Mexico, and you tell people, do not play with the Border Patrol? Well, Finesse is one of those people who you might feel kind of risky having in the car. Like, why y'all checking us? Why you looking at me? That Finesse is that kid. So we're not.
I'm gonna show you how we ride together. He just committed a black on black crime. See,
that's true.
When I'm going to Border Patrol, why the blackest guy gotta act up when we're going to Border Patrol?
Oh, here we go. All right. What,
now it just got real.
You know what? I was gonna take a break, but we're not taking a break because I know we're both about to commit black on black crimes. So Kai's gonna have to be the reason of sanity here. Now, Roy Hibbert, NBA center for the Pacers, was fined by the NBA for a remark of saying no homo during a press conference. He got a $75,000 fine doing remarks after a post-game press conference. Now, personally, I don't really get what the problem is. So don't throw a flag on me for that. Well, you can, but I don't get it. So Finesse will – no, let's go to Kai because Finesse is going to get a flag too along with me on this one. First of all, I mean, this just might be an old-school thing, to just say, you know, I'm not being gay, but you look nice. If a guy says that, is that a gay slur? I don't get why people are so doggone.
Yeah,
that
was going to be my question. What did he say right before that? Did he say someone wore their shirts nice, or that's a nice tight sweater?
No, it's basketball. I'm sure he wasn't commenting on him that way.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't quite sure what he said. I just knew he got fined. But if it was insensitive, that's different.
You know, they're not saying.
No,
you can say racial stuff. Wait a minute, before you go on, Finesse, you can say racial stuff all day. People are so insensitive to black folks these days. You can say dang near anything. But if you say something remarkably close to gay, everybody has a doggone, and I'm surprised that black folks are falling out for this stuff. But anyway, I digress. Finesse, you're up before I get my flag.
That's because people don't watch the Boondocks. They don't know where they got where he got
that
from. And that's exactly where he got it from. I didn't see anything wrong with it. He was making reference to LeBron's game and the game before. He had went on the rant because they were talking about him and his game, and he cussed the reporter out. So it didn't deserve to be that much of a fine. He said it in playing around. But here's the thing now, and Esprit just said it. If you say anything out of the way that's not gay acceptable, then you're getting fined or you're getting talked about or you're getting blackballed. And I didn't see anybody from the gay community getting upset.
Right.
So what's the problem?
Okay, and to my point, who cares? I'm just saying, just because he said, I'm not gay, doesn't mean that he's saying you can't be gay. Like, it's not like he slammed, like, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't point somebody out. It's like, I'm not a girl, but, so do you go to women and be like, well, he's saying that, is that negative saying that you're not something?
Well, see, and here's the problem. I've said this, and I still continue to say it. The NBA and NFL are not ready to talk about.
They sure aren't.
Somebody
sure aren't.
Being in their team that's openly gay, and this is because
it's not
discussed in the black community. The majority of your players are from black community. Whether or not some of them are on the DL or not, it's not something that they're ready to talk about yet. They're still 2 or 3 years behind. So they have to get caught up behind the scenes before you start finding people for stuff they've been saying for years. I can remember going to the basketball court and playing on the football, and we would say stuff, it's just part of our lingo, but we don't mean that.
Right.
We would call somebody the F word or call somebody gay, and we didn't mean that in the context that people think. So you're finding a culture for the way they talk, and that's not fair. So I understand where Hibbert was going. I understood everything he was saying. I know where he got it from, straight from the show Boondocks. And for him to get fined that kind of money is ridiculous. And if I was Hibbert, I would fight. Forget David Stern.
Yeah,
right.
Because I've heard the term used before, but I didn't know the context in which he was using it.
Yeah.
But
in the show, you know, Riley may say, well, you know, that looked nice on you, no homo, or something to that effect.
Yeah.
So that's what it means.
Yeah, and you're right. The gay community probably not even offended.
No,
they're just so
okay.
They're so paranoid trying to be so politically correct that sometimes they overdo it.
Right. And you know what's even so bad, even there's comedians. Like even when we were young, we used to play around and we used to do like the shenane thing. It's got to the point now where we don't even want to do that because we don't want to be labeled as or offense or being offensive to somebody else.
Right.
And that's crazy.
Okay. That would be all of you except me. I don't really care. So on that note, let's bring in our commissioner, just in case I need to be, because I need discipline.
Not a guy.
Let's bring
another commissioner. Ride the giant.
Nope. Hey, Kathleen. Don't listen
to
that.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, commissioner.
Hey, Kai. Hey,
how are you?
How are you all? I'm good. How are you?
Good.
And the commissioner is like the captain of the Miami division in Bad Boys.
I'm going to make a new rule here, and I'm just going to rule on this. Commish or Kai, whenever y'all want finesse muted, just hit one on your line. And if I see
the
flag
together.
Go up one more time, finesse muted. Let Kathleen speak.
Let's answer this question. Whose face is on the promo?
It will be Kai and the commish next week.
Nope,
if you
nope. Whose face is on the promo?
Oh, God.
That's
okay.
All I have to say. America,
does that
if you see the promo, is two faces on the promo. Mine is on there, and I'll let you guess who else is on there. Bad boys.
That doesn't imply 50-50. Hey, Commish, how are you?
Hey.
Don't let us think of our game.
I'm good. I was just, I unmuted because I'm over here scratching my head saying, well, was that a black-on-black crime in itself, saying that the NBA and the NFL are behind in conversations about, gay, homosexuality, whatever, because the majority of their players are black. I wasn't quite sure where you were going with that, but did I just hear that wrong? I don't know.
No, 77% of both leagues are black.
Well, I'm aware of. I'm aware of that. What I'm saying is, did I hear you correctly in saying that that's the reason why the NFL and the NBA are behind don't know how to handle the conversations about homosexuality? Are you really saying that?
Yes, because their PR department is not great. They rush to a
situation. I'm trying to give him an out, right?
They want to do it.
That's
politically correct.
Why we both laughed. Kai and I both laughed because he was like, not taking it.
And they're behind, and so yes, I say that. You can throw me a flag if you want to, but it's true.
And I can say this, too, because, again, I agree with this. So what? Like, that's not an issue of saying that they have to have the conversation anyway. Like, that's not that big of a deal. It's a cultural issue. And so when you start talking about black folks and how the reaction is generally to stuff, if you don't understand the lingo, first of all, don't use it and don't report on it. So since everybody's so homosensitive that, hey, I think I'll just coin that word. You're homosensitive.
Yeah, I think
but all that
think
is.
It's a new one.
So if you're going to be homosensitive, like the issue is always like, what is it that we are not getting as black folks that makes us so doggone upset about that, but not upset about being black. That kills me.
Right.
Like, I can care less what anybody's relationship is with anybody else. But when it comes to black
folks.
Okay.
I'm so glad you said that. And not to change the subject, but and not to be homosensitive, is that the word you said?
Yes.
I guess what came out for me when Jason Collins or whomever he was came out and he was all over. My thing is, and maybe I was wondering if I was the only one feeling this way, why is it my business that he's gay or not? I could care less. I want to know
exactly.
If I'm going down the court with you, are you going to pass the ball to me or are you going to hog the ball? Are you my teammate?
Right.
I could care less when you get off the court if you gay, straight, blue, purple, as long as you're not molesting kids and old people. Who cares if you're gay or not? You know, I don't, and not to sound cynical, but a lot of my friends are gay, and they really are. I don't care that they're gay. I care that they're a good friend. So I was confused
right.
as to why he felt like he needed to come out and say that and be the poster child for gay people, because a lot of my gay friends are like, okay, why did he do that? Like, I thought it was just me. Who cares?
You know what?
That's the funny part why you say that, because a lot of gay folks that I know, some of them are friends, and they said the same thing. Why is it necessary for him to come out to say anything?
Exactly.
But it's all about marketing. It's all about money.
Exactly.
And it's
right.
all about, you know, everybody wants to be gay correct.
No.
So,
I think it's about the NBA making money, right?
If
you're the first, right? But if you're the first of anything, I think you'll get marketed out the gills for any doggone thing these days. And so, we're not talking about the fact that you have to make people sensitive to other human beings. You're like, no. If that person is gay, you need to act. You need to understand that this is what gay is. Who cares? Like,
right.
He cares what it is.
I mean,
everybody
if he's a gay, great basketball player or a straight, horrible basketball player, I'd rather have the gay, great basketball player as my teammate.
If you're
so
playing
who
basketball.
Who cares about that, you know?
Exactly. If he's going to help me win a championship,
that's
all I care
about. Yeah,
that's
what I want to know. How are we going to win a championship? And I thought I was just being insensitive until some of my friends were like, okay, he did that. His career is getting ready to end. Or maybe he felt like he needed to purge. So, no, I don't want to minimize whatever his reason was, but I'm like, wow, okay. Did he just cure cancer or he just admitted that he was gay? Okay.
And see, this is where we're hearing in society, Kai, how you felt. That's how a lot of people feel, like they can't speak up or say anything.
Right.
Because then
it's so stigmatized.
The gay police is going to come lock you up because you're against gay people.
But I'm not. I mean, it's just very bizarre.
It really is. Kathleen, we cut off the commish. Commish, I know you want to jump in. She's about to throw a flag on us. No, I didn't think she was going to say anything to you. Stop feeling guilty. I was talking about the commish. Every time
what
I call commish, Vanessa, fall
out. Can I say the gay police?
Yeah, I do think that's a black-on-black crime, I do. So I'm going to throw a flag.
Because we're talking about the NBA. And
yes, about the NBA and the NFL.
You might as well throw one
because
I said the NFL too, so that'd be two flags.
Right.
Well, actually,
I was throwing the whole box
of flags on you, Finesse, because you just.
But not the NHL.
Wait.
No flags in the NHL.
But no flags for gay police, but flags because I said about the NFL.
Okay, don't get muted, Finesse. Come on now. We just started the show. You're listening to Black on Black Cry. You call in and join us, 909-265-9189. I didn't want to just take a break, really.
You wanted some clarification. What is my commission?
Like here's the thing. They don't talk about gay people in hockey. They don't really talk about it in baseball. They don't talk. So
we
only talk about basketball and
sick.
Football. Right, but we're talking about basketball and football because in the culture of it, it always magnifies black people to what black people's actions are. So I think
mm-hmm.
they find it extra ordinary to just go out to say, here's what LeBron is thinking or here's what Kobe is saying. I think that is a part of the game of marketing those two sports. They figured out a way to market them, and that's what they do. So anything sensitive, they do. The point where the games are delayed because they beep out cursing, because you can't stop people getting elbowed in the mouth and not cursing at you. Like, you just can't stop it. So every now and then you'll hear them beep out those games while they're being played. You can't stop the culture and light and try to water it down. Just like in football, you can't water down what their natural reactions are just because you want to make it child-friendly, gay-friendly, women-friendly. You're just not going to do that with a bunch of guys. I just don't think that it's possible. And so
you look at what Hibbert did. That's, you know, he grew up watching the Boondocks. So he's quoting something that he saw.
Right, and then Hibbert, it becomes different when it becomes entertainment because, like, when Jason Collins came out, he was everywhere on Oprah, and so it went from him, this, you know, sharing this personal experience to we're watching it because we want to know and we want to be entertained and we want, you know, and it kind of, for all those people who are afraid to share that their homosexuality, it got watered down in there somewhere.
Yeah, it sure did. And so the big thing is that we are going to get away and we're going to come back after this break. You listen to Black on Black Crime.
Starting Sunday, this coming Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new show called Professional Style, where we talk about singles, professionals, parents, travel, lifestyle, and living. If you are a professional, if you're a single, you're a parent, or whatever your status in life, Professional Style, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network.
The sound that shattered barriers, shaped our lives, and made us all move together comes to Broadway in Motown, the musical. The real story of how founder Berry Gordy and the whole Motown family created the soundtrack that changed America. The beat of a generation, the soul of a nation. Get ready, because here it comes. Motown, the musical. Previews begin March 11th.
Welcome to Esprinet News, 92nd Newsbreak. The U.S. economy grew at an annualized rate of 2.4% in the first 3 months of the year. U.S. consumer confidence in May rose to the highest level in more than 5 years. U.S. housing prices in March were also up 10.9%. President Barack Obama signed a bill that awards the Congressional Gold Medal posthumously to the four African-American girls killed in the 1963 church bombing. Now, the bomb was planted by white supremacists. It exploded at the 16th Street Baptist Church in September 1963. At the age of 107, America's oldest known veteran, Richard Overton, enjoyed his Memorial Day weekend in what he described as a familiar company of up to 12 cigars, some coffee with a little whiskey. He attributes acts of hard work and a single baby aspirin taken every day to his long life. Inside the Actor Studio, host James Lipton revealed that he was doing something crazy in the 50s. Now, the 86-year-old actor admitted to becoming a pimp after he ran out of money while living in Paris. Now, the actor doesn't believe that people should pay for sex, but, quote, if you can't earn it on your own, then you don't deserve it. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Espritnet News on ACN.
Back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, on with Kai, Finesse, our Commissioner, Kathleen. On the show, we have our main topic, author Alice Walker versus Alicia Keys. Then we have singer Miguel, who says that black people are judgmental. We're just going to discuss him first before we go into our regular topic. But before we do that, I just want to say, give a shout out to my girl, Jasmine Sims, who graduated. Did her aunt Kai Sims have anything to say to her yesterday, Kai?
Just that I love her and I'm so proud of her. And I know she's going to do great things. She might be the next Mariah Carey, hopefully the same Mariah Carey, but the next Mariah Carey.
Let me tell you, My girl Jazz over the last week has sang everybody under, like, I hear she had everyone crying yesterday. I stepped outside, I was talking, go figure, and they were, like, wiping tears off their faces and said that she just sang.
And here's the crazy thing. I didn't even know she sang and write songs, which means I really got to get home more often. I found that out, like, 2 years ago.
But, yeah, you know. She's a good writer, my girl. And so am I. Congratulations, Jasmine, on, you know, I would say what school she's going on, but hopefully if you're listening, I know she is, she's out of school now, so hopefully if you're listening, Jazz, call in, and your father knows that we're on, call in and join us. We'll try to keep it light. I'll mute Finesse. She graduated high school. She needs to know
right,
there's people like Finesse out there. Is there a black on black crime, Finesse?
Another black on black crime.
Okay, well, I was just checking. I wasn't really sure. Well, let's get the commissioner's ruling. Was that a black on black crime that I warned her about, Finesse?
No, not really.
That's why I got my own commission.
I'm
my commission.
I'm just joking, Finesse.
Sensitive.
Don't be so sensitive without the other part of the word in front of it.
See, look. She was going to say no homo, but she
didn't
want to say
bad
that.
Boy.
I don't want to say stuff like that.
Double syllables in my mouth.
I know. I'll mute it out in the archives. My bad, Kathleen. All right.
Now you see why I say we bad boys. Bad boys.
No. But that's why I take somebody to jail with him. Okay, before we go into the Miguel story, here's what Finesse has talked about. Finesse, tell us about the woman who ratted out her son. Tell us about that story.
Okay, I forgot where it was. But the lady's son, she's watching the news. She sees a video of her son robbing a store. She decides to turn him in. This is an article that's on my favorite magazine, yourblackworld.com.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. And the writer...
My bad.
And the writer... of this article stated that the woman was wrong, that she's giving in to the illegal justice system. You know how they treat us black males and blacks in general, blah, 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 blah. What was interesting was the number of comments that came later said the writer was crazy. And in my opinion, she is crazy, because if your child knows better and you've done all you can for your child, you see your child on the news, and they are looking for your child who is of age, they will come to your house and kick the door in or be harassing you to find out where he is. So that woman... To me, she did what she was supposed to do. I did everything for you. You out here committing crimes. You know better, blase, blase. And she turned him in.
So the moral of the story is the woman saw her child on the news and she turned him in.
Right.
That's what happened. And the writer is saying that she was wrong for turning her son in.
Right.
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 Okay.
And then
okay,
people said that she shouldn't have.
Okay, I was going to say, who wants this first, Kathleen or Kai? But Kai, go ahead. What do you think about that?
Oh. Well, as I shared on Finesse's Facebook page, and it's, you know, me not having any children, maybe it's me saying it's because I don't have any children, but I don't know that I would have turned him in. I think I would have turned him in because I would hate for the police to go looking for him and he ends up getting shot, something like that.
That was my point.
But at the same time, he's embarrassing the family, he's embarrassing people. And like I shared with Finesse, I don't know if I'd turn him in, but I would make it, it would be a long time before he even thought about stealing from anybody ever again, because with one hand and a black eye, it's real hard to steal something. He would get some serious bodily harm coming to him.
Okay.
Just for the record, you would be locked up in Atlanta County Jail.
I probably would, but he would have to prove it was me.
Right, and all I'm going to say is I'm not snitching on Kai. So anyway, Kathleen, I am
my mother's child, so what would have happened is that I would have been turning both of us in, because by the time they got there, I'd be sitting on the front step smoking a cigarette saying, he and there.
My mom.
See, there you go. He right there. If he's still breathing, go check it out.
Man.
Just don't make those cuffs too tight, because my wrist, you know, I play tennis.
Oh, I thought you just...
For some reason, I'm getting a picture of Kathleen looking like Angela Bassett with that cigarette and way down.
Yeah. Did you catch what you said? He in there.
He in there.
He in there. You still crazy.
I so want to.
You don't need
all
nothing,
y'all for that.
I ain't got time for that.
There you go.
I really do want to mute all of y'all for that one. That's just wrong.
Because he know better.
I can't trust none of y'all. Okay, but still, look, okay. So here is my take on this.
Oh, here's a smoke. Sorry.
The problem for me is that he put his family in harm's way. I think you are a coward. If you are going to do something illegal and bring it to your mama's house, then they are going to kick in her door.
Yeah.
Right? So the problem is that you're bringing that stuff to her. She should have turned your butt in. You stashing illegal stuff in your mother's house. Really? That is the problem.
And didn't they say you stole from a 9-year-old? The girl was 9 or something?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes.
I didn't know the details of it. But I was going to say, now, if he was out on his own, that might be a debate. If she saw him and he was in Nevada or something, she saw him on TV, we may be able to debate, would you call your son in without calling him? But that's a whole other story. But he was living in the house. So she had to do that. I don't see a problem. Now that we got that out of the way, Finesse, we're still not riding because I'm going to turn you in. See, that's where that came from.
Why are you going to turn me down? The ladies have joined the bandwagon.
Well, no. The ladies have all said they'll turn your butt in, too, as well as that little
Kathleen
kid.
Kathleen said she sit on a chair on a porch and smoke a cigarette.
But she,
I didn't even need a chair. I just
he in there. See? He but, in there. That's what she said. He in there.
Wait, no. You didn't hear. Now, since Kathleen's here, I'm not going to talk about Kathleen. She's not here. But she said they would have to pick him up. She said she knocked him out. They're going to have to arrest her, too. You didn't see that part.
That's what I said.
You listen to her whole saying? She made it quite clear. He in there. He's still breathing.
Maybe. She said,
that's what I'm saying. You ride
the
cigarette. Let's go.
See, Kathleen, he didn't see the symbolism. You were smoking a cigarette like your last cigarette. Like, you didn't know
that's
whether
right.
he was okay
Thank
in
you.
The back.
He
didn't even see that.
Kathleen is my homegirl today. She said she'd take him out. I do the same thing. Just ride or die.
Don't ride with him.
Don't ride with him.
It's too late. I hear the music coming now.
He didn't embarrass the whole family. First he's gonna apologize to everybody who he robbed, including the store people and the 9-year-old girl.
Mm. No, you can't apologize to the 9-year-old girl.
I'm putting him on the news and I'm filming it, and then I'm gonna dress like a ninja and break his arm and blacken his eye.
Kai, do not pull out the cat suit. Come on now. He's gonna go to jail.
He over at Kathleen's house. He in there.
I don't even have to say anything.
I'm gonna be sitting there talking to Kathleen, asking her what my rights are as an abusive parent.
She was like, I represent both of us. Like, that's how Kathleen gets down. All right. I'm talking about Kathleen Lexi. I'm talking about Lexi down here.
Kai said she's going to have a black and mild, though. Kai said she's going to have a black and mild. She's going
to
keep it real.
Okay, no. Okay, Finesse about to get mute. On that note, you're
going
to black and black.
I'm not hurting no kids.
Yes,
damn.
You are. Don't. Finesse sometimes loses his mind, so at this point in the show, we're gonna run that tone. Every time she
gets muted, Kathleen.
Okay, he just got muted. Okay, he was Dwight Howard, and he was just going a little across the line. So we're gonna give him a moment in timeout
to breathe.
Until nope, I didn't. I'm not even opening up his mic. Okay, now you're listening to the Black on Black Crime. We're gonna move subjects, and we're gonna talk about Miguel and black people. I'm going to let Kai make the adjustment. Should I bring him back in? No.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do that to you because Finesse counts on your support. Kathleen, should I bring Finesse back in?
Sure.
Okay, never mind. I'm not going to put you in the middle of it because y'all both, they both are nicer than me. Finesse.
Yeah, it's Monday.
Just sit tight.
You know.
Sit tight. Get an ice cream or something. I'll bring you back in about 2 seconds. Now, this is just to discourage people from calling in on this show being crazy. Don't let Finesse fool you. This is not a crazy show. Now, singer Miguel says that black people are judgmental. I don't know if you guys saw the story. Finesse knows a little bit about this story, but R&B singer Miguel undoubtedly is having a moment. Now, he's 27 years old. He burst onto the scene last summer since he won a Grammy, and Kelly Clarkson was like, oh, my gosh, I want to work with him, blah, blah, blah. He teamed up with Mariah Carey, and, you know, he had the incident at the Billboard Awards where he jumped over the stage and kicked that girl in the head, I think. But Miguel made Time Magazine's list of 100 most influential people in the world. And it's both
really?
It's both what they're saying, African-American and Mexican-American descent. It's funny how people like to use their other stuff when they start mm-hmm. getting in trouble. But anyway, so on Twitter he said, I am proud of my heritage, but honestly, black people are the most judgmental people in the world. He said the S-word stuff is sad, man, but he cursed. And he said, that's why I appreciate those who choose to think and act for themselves regardless of ethnicity or culture. The problem cannot be fixed until the problem is recognized. Not everyone is the same, thank goodness. And obviously, I love my fans. So according to the Urban Daily, Miguel's rant was prompted by a tweet from a fan that said the singer sold his soul, right? And Miguel wrote, don't be an idiot, and then deleted the tweet. But his response comes from, here's the tweet. The real no, you've already sold your soul. You proved it in your prayer, use me. Clearly wasn't God. You can't fool us. And this is where all this stuff started, and Miguel just seemed to have lost his mind from there. Kathleen, did you hear about this story at all with Miguel?
No. Uh-uh.
His blanket statement of all black people is where the black-on-black crime is coming, saying that black people are judgmental. We don't care about the one person who tweeted you who happened to be black who didn't like your stuff, but for him to blanket statement that is kind of making coverage in the blogosphere right now about him. So I'm just trying to see, is that a black-on-black crime to always throw out black people under the bus when you have somebody else?
Yeah, especially when you are being judgmental in the statement that you're making.
Yeah.
Black people are judgmental, but he's half black, and he judged the people in the statement. Okay, that was hilarious. But just
and
in case there's
point.
A flag,
just
in case there's a flag, I bought Finesse back in to throw a flag on the commissioner, just in case.
I'm not throwing a flag on commission. I'm not throwing a flag on commission. She ride or die in a day. I still think about it.
Oh, see, I shouldn't have took him off mute so early. Kai, you're up.
Yes. Well, I was aware of the tweet. First of all, he doesn't know if the person who sent it was black or white. And he could have kept up that they were an idiot. Maybe he felt that way. But mm-hmm. I agree, it's a black-on-black crime because he categorized everybody as being judgmental. In his defense, a lot of, you know, just following him and following some of his music and stuff, a lot of the people who post are judgmental about his looks, his size, his style of dress, you know, forgetting the fact that he's a talented singer, they're so busy concentrating on other characteristics about him. So maybe he was frustrated at that part, but to say all of us are judgmental was definitely a black-on-black crime.
Yeah, just for feeding the stereotype.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
All right. All right, Finesse, what do you think about what he said?
I really don't know how to feel because I understand what Miguel is saying, but he also committed a black on black crime. So I give a pass on this one because I don't know. Because again, you know, if what he's saying, I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
Should he have been saying it in public? Probably not.
I agree with that because sometimes they just cross the line. Now,
Yeah. The
woman who was on the receiving end of Miguel's accidental wrestling jump from one
mm-hmm.
thing to is now exploring her legal options. This is according to E! Online. they're calling her like the leg dropped victim because he like kneed her or something. Her name is, I won't say her name, but she's considering suing him because she's experiencing some difficulties following the television incident.
She probably
according
should.
To her lawyer. Right, she got hurt.
I mean, she thought she was going to be okay, but you could see the way he landed on her head. It knocked her head back.
She was just being a trooper.
Yeah, she may feel okay for the moment, but personal. This is business.
Yep. Right. Well, hey, they were at an award show. They should have had insurance. Now, their attorney said they will decide whether to move forward with the lawsuit after her latest medical results come back. Although there was no timeline given for a possible filing, he just said we'll determine that after we get feedback from the medical providers.
Yeah.
Of course, if she got something broken, fractured, I don't care, scarred, she should.
And she's not black, Miguel. Just putting that out there. She's doing it.
Funny. She is suing him. She did not take that picture. Like, there was a picture after the show that he took with her. And he was like, you can come to my shows for free. No, she might own your shows.
Like, he looked a little nervous then, like, please don't sue me.
that wasn't even the option. Mental note, if you didn't jump it cleanly during your rehearsals, do not try it with a crowd there.
And why did you jump it anyway with all those people there? That wasn't a very smart move.
Well,
he was caught up, I guess, in the moment.
Well, he probably was caught up in the moment. But, okay, so we're at a consensus on this one. He did commit a black-on-black crime. Or Finesse took a zero. He just opted out of this, right, Finesse?
Yeah.
You said you didn't know. Okay. Kamish was black-on-black crime, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and Kai definitely was. All right. So we knocked one out of the box today, opposed to this mother committed a black-on-black crime. I can't remember that. Did we talk about her committing a black-on-black
crime? No, she didn't commit a black-on-black crime. No.
I don't think she did either. A mother-on-son crime, but not a black-on-black crime.
Exactly. Nope. I can't ask Kathleen because I keep pitching her with the cigarette in her mouth. That is just I don't know why. I'm sorry, Kathleen, but that's not a crime, but that visual is hilarious.
Yeah.
but you put me on mute for their crimes is a crime.
I sure did for that, right? I'm just wrong for that.
You just fall into my theme for today's show. Bad boy.
Okay. That's the only thing that's a theme. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. Our call-in number is 909-265-9189. We'll be back. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more Black on Black Crime.
He in here,
and
officer. Lay it out.
This is a story about BK from BK. Bernard King from Brooklyn, New York. It's 1984. The garden is packed, and I'm sitting in the last row. I mean, I could touch the roof. And Bernard King, he was giving the Knicks the business. 10, 20, 40 points. Second half, 50, 60 points. He was stopping and popping, posting and toasting. All hail the King. And you know what? You never know who's going to wear the crown next.
Not this, but that. And then there's or. O-R. When you have a choice like this or that. And Brad Moore gets you pretty far.
Conjunction, junction. What's your function?
What's better, bigger or smaller?
Bigger!
So which would you rather have, a big treehouse or a small treehouse?
If it's big enough, you can have a disco.
Why do you not want a smaller treehouse?
Because it wouldn't be able to fit a flat screen TV, and then the TV would be about this big, and you would have to hold the wire. In the position you would hold the wire, you wouldn't be able to see the TV.
That's a pain in the buns.
Yep.
It's not complicated. Bigger is better. And AT&T has the nation's largest 4G network.
Where does a great night out get even better? At the new Ruby Tuesday, with our freshly made lobster tail and steakhouse sirloin for only $14.99. Enjoy the tempting combination of sweet lobster paired with a perfectly seasoned sirloin, cooked just the way you like it, and served with a free garden bar, all for only $14.99. But join us soon. A pairing this perfect won't last forever. The new Ruby Tuesday.
Look at these pictures. Okay. Your hair was so beautiful last night. What did you do?
I stopped using heat. So I set my hair with wraps that move. It makes my hair look so rich. And then I finish with glossy polisher so I don't frizz on the dance floor. And I'm good to go.
It's still looking good today.
Well, we all look good.
Yeah. Ladies, we had a blast.
Yeah.
Organic root stimulator. Nature's secret to healthier style hair.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, along with my girl, Kai, and my other girl, Kathleen. The commish is hanging out today, and we have finesse because we're starting the show with a new open letter. That's why we had to start this way, finesse. I know how much you like open letters. So.
Yeah, but not associated with what we getting ready to talk about.
Yeah, this one may get a little bad.
Oh, this one's going to get
Right now, in our main topic, we have Alice Walker versus Alicia Keys, R&B singer Alicia Keys. Now, Alicia Keys is performing in Israel. So we have poet, author, essayist, Pulitzer Prize winning Alice Walker, who's known for her novel, The Color Purple. So Alice Walker writes this open letter to Alicia Keys. It says, "Dear Alicia Keys, I have learned today that you're due to perform in Israel very soon. We have never met, though I believe that we are mutually respectful of each other's path and work. To put yourself in soul danger, like her soul in danger, by performing in an apartheid country that is being boycotted by many global conscious artists. You were not born when we, your elders who love you, boycotted institutions in the U.S. South to end American apartheid, less lethal than Israel's against Palestine or the Palestinian people." She said, "Google Montgomery bus boycott." And after that, she says, "Under the campaign named Brand Israel, you shouldn't be performing to make Israel look better, because Israel officials have stated specifically that their intent is to downplay the Palestine conflict by using culture and arts to showcase Israel as a modern, welcoming place." Now, she said, "This is actually a wonderful opportunity for you to learn about something so sorrowful and amazing that our government, Obama in particular, supports a system that is cruel, unjust, and unbelievably evil." She said, "You can spend months and years, as I have, pondering this situation, layered upon layer of lies, misinformation, fears, cowardice, and complicities, the and greed." She said, "It is a vast eye-opener into what causes of much of the affliction that our world has suffered." That's about all that I'm reading from Alice Walker. But at the end, she just says, "With love, your sister, beloved daughter and friend, Alice Walker." So I want to start with finesse on this one to tell us what, now, is this a black-on-black crime? She pens an open letter to Alicia Keys, and then she tends to say, "Why don't you Google apartheid? Why don't you Google something, Montgomery bus boycott? Won't you Google what is going on in the world and then make a decision on whether you want to support something?" What do you think about that, finesse?
Anytime, I don't like open letters. I never had. Because when you're on that status, if you got a problem or you got to say something to somebody, then you should step to them. Alice Walker's people could have reached her publicist and said whatever. When you write an open letter, regardless of your intent, you got to worry about how the person sees it. And they're going to see it as either jealousy or you're trying to embarrass them. And I think that was a wrong tactic. She could have reached out to her. To write an open letter then to give it to the media, you're not trying to expose or talk to Alicia. You're just trying to expose her flaws and bring light in yourself. And I think that was foul. I don't care who it is. You know, we got this discussion earlier and you had to clear it up for me, but I do not like open letters. I think it's a chump move. I think that, again, if you have a problem with me, come see me. Or if you think I'm doing something I may not know enough about, come see me. Don't put it in the public because then I have to respond or act a certain way. And this is exactly what she did to Alicia, and then I see why Alicia responded to the way that she did. She's like telling Alicia, you know, you're too young. You don't know what happened to the boycott. She don't know what Alicia knows. Has she seen Alicia's
right.
video when she dealt with the controversy about interracial dating? So I think that's foul. I hate open letters. No one can justify to me what's the purpose of an open letter.
She also said in the letter, if you can manage it, go visit the children of Gaza and sing to them of our mutual love for all children and their rights not to be harmed simply because they exist. She's telling
them
what
to do. Why should she get involved in her personal, what she wants her to do? What if Alicia doesn't feel that way? So she has no idea, and I think that, you know, these open letters cause problems because people do not want to be embarrassed. It's like a Twitter war. But it's on paper. You're putting your thoughts and your ideas about somebody and putting them on blast, and then you're sending it out as a press release.
Kathleen, let's ask Kamish. Kathleen, what do you think about Alice Walker and her open letter to Alicia Keys?
I don't know. I kind of think her color is purple.
I don't know. She's like kind of down in the dumps about that. It's not a feel good letter at all.
Right.
At all. And I'm, you know, I don't want to try and assume what kind of dynamic could be happening between them or whatever. So I can only judge it from how I see it and what's being showed to the public. And I agree with Finesse. It is, you know, I don't know, maybe, well, let me not say that. I'll just say that it brings a whole lot of attention to her. It gets her name out in the press. Right now, and I'm talking about Alice Walker, but I don't see if, you know, if I'm Alice Walker, why can't I pick the phone and call Alicia Keys? Now, I'm not saying that maybe she didn't try. Who knows? I don't know. But from what I can see, I don't like it. I don't like it. And even if she spoke to her directly, if she picked up the phone and called me, you know, she's an elder and all that, you know, but still, speak to me with some respect. I don't, you know, don't tell me to go Google something. I don't like the tone of the letter either. So I think that it's a black-on-black, woman-on-woman, entertainer-on-entertainer crime. It just doesn't smell good.
It doesn't have a really good tone to it, just generally. That's why I was kind of struggling on it, because I was skipping over some parts. You know, she pretty much said, we change our country fundamentally, and the various boycotts of Israel's institutions and products will do the same. Like, she's lecturing her on this is our only way to have a non-violent option, right? This is not for Alicia Keys to fight her fight is kind of what I think.
She's going over there to sing. You know, and how many of our artists, you know, over the years have had, artists and athletes as well, had these kinds of issues when they wanted to make appearances, whether it was in from South Africa to all different parts of Africa to all Cuba to wherever. You know, but I just think that the tone with which we speak to each other has got to be improved. I just don't like that.
And touche on that one, because at least in South Africa, she was African. Now, I don't know if Alicia Keys' people are Israeli or, just, like, I don't know if she's saying help your people out. But it just seems like it was a bit harsh. That's what my thought is. Kai, we'll let you have that. What do you think about Alice Walker?
I agree with Finesse. If you have something to say to me, then pick up the phone or send me a letter. I'm an Alice Walker fan, but I'm a little disappointed. It's like it was passive-aggressive chastisement. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but if she's so passionate about singing to the children in Gaza, why doesn't she go sing to the children in Gaza? You know, I mean,
agree.
All of the stuff that Alicia Keys has done for peace, for world, you know, for hunger, for peace, and so forth, she could have at least acknowledged that her heart was in the right place. And I agree with you, Kathleen. You know, it's like, it's almost like she's trying to embarrass her, go look this up and go, no, you go look it up, you know. And
right.
It's unfortunate because it could have been a great opportunity for a lesson learned. And who's to say that Alicia Keys going over there won't bring about change? At some point, maybe change
exactly.
will come about, you know. So who's to say she's a very well-known, well-respected artist. This may be an opportunity for the change that Alice Walker is speaking about to come about. But for her to, like Finesse said, send this open letter, I totally agree. It sounds to me like she was trying to get on a platform, and some of it was for self-serving purposes. And I would love to know what Oprah thinks about this. Because that's
well,
Oprah's you girl, know. You know.
Uh-huh. Well,
but
listen
yeah.
to this. I kind of have a feeling about the backhanded Obama slap in this as well.
Yeah.
Right?
He's
she
probably
said,
like, what did I do? Jeez. She going to sing. I don't sing.
She took a shot at everybody. It was
yeah.
like, while she was slamming Alicia Keys, telling her to go learn, you
right.
know, you're going to learn today. While she was trying to throw that at her.
Go learn today.
Alice Walker's going to learn today. Because that was
yeah,
just underhanded.
Yeah, she's clearly having a bad day.
Yeah,
she
really. She really is. And the other thing, too, is that this is such an opportunity. Who wouldn't like to see an opportunity?
Exactly.
Who wouldn't like to see Alicia Keys and Alice Walker coming together on a project?
That
you know,
would be
Alice
phenomenal.
Walker reading some poetry while
right.
Alicia Keys is singing. You know, what? All kinds
exactly.
of stuff could come out of this. But
yeah.
with a tone like that, it's like, what? You know, what?
Yeah.
So hopefully Alicia Keys will be, you know, who, you know, I believe she is,
mm-hmm.
and reach out and maybe some, you know, something great
out.
Could come. Maybe something great.
Yeah, and they can turn it into something positive
maybe
that will
yeah, that's
benefit
what I like
everybody
too
involved.
Late
that.
Yeah,
that.
Too late for that.
Too late for that, Alicia.
No, it's never too late. It's never too late.
Oh, yes, it is.
Well, wait a minute, Finesse. Didn't Oprah have them all at her house? Wasn't Alicia
yeah,
Keys
she
and
had,
Alice
yeah.
Walker?
Yes, yes.
I think,
she knows
hey,
how to get in contact with Alicia Keys.
If she didn't know sisterhood from that moment on, I don't think Alice
yeah.
Walker's going to get it.
Yeah.
I think that Alice Walker's wrong. Now, Alicia Keys recently announced that she has no intent to heeding to Alice Walker's pleas to cancel her concert in Israel. Keys said that she plans to perform in the event, which is going to be held on July 4th this year. She said, I look forward to my first visit to Israel. Music is a universal language that is meant to unify audience in peace and love, and that is the spirit of our show, is what she said.
Good response. That was very tactful.
Yeah.
She told
yeah,
Alice
she,
Walker, I ain't doing nothing. You're going to learn today.
She could have
okay.
said, go somewhere and sit down.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a very good response.
I think she was a little bit classy on that one, just to say
right.
I'm not going to respond with the type of energy that you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my response. Now,
but even in the response, all right, she responded in a kind of way, but there's an undertone you can read in that, and you just dead issues, you know, like she Alice Walker knows Alicia. They all met, they all exchanged numbers, they know each other, and for you to write this letter. Alicia probably was going off, walking back and forth, pacing, going off, like, yo, who is this chick to write me this letter and tell me and then embarrass me? And that's what these open letters do. You end up embarrassing somebody, and their pride and their ego, regardless of how they react, I can understand. I could understand if Alicia or anybody goes off because somebody just called you out.
Yeah, and talked to her like she was a kid.
Yeah, like she's nothing. Right. And you know, and the thing is, Alicia's like, yo, she can contact me. She got my email, my phone number. Text me. Don't put me out here on blast. And to go out of your way and to release it to the media, again, this reminds me of the whole Tyler Perry, Spike Lee thing. That stuff needs to be discussed behind closed doors. None of this stuff needs to be in the media.
Okay, and you know I'm going to disagree with that. But before I do that, the internet.
Another black on black crime. I'm loving it.
So, one of the internet comments says Israel are doing a grave justice or grave wrong by repressing the Palestinians, and they are doing a great injustice or grave wrong by endangering the lives of ordinary Israeli citizens by firing rockets into this country. I guess they were Israeli who wrote this. It said Palestine has a right to exist. So they were just saying, stop shooting rockets over here, and we're doing a grave wrong by repressing you, but they need to stop. So that was kind of a positive statement. But another one says, Israel is the product of the British Empire and Empire's colonialism and imperialism. Their story is based on fairy tales. They conveniently exclude the fact who exist before the Arabic people who were there hundreds of years before. And it also says, I wonder, does Ms. Keyes know the government of Israel is what they're doing to Ethiopian women, the forced sterilization. Now, I did one of those stories I'm not sure if I did the story, but I remember this news story a while ago. Israel has been forced sterilization on black women in Israel. So that is something to talk about, and I can see why you would make Alicia Keys aware of what the Israelis are doing to black people in Ethiopia, the Ethiopian women, the black women over there, what they're doing to them. But the whole thing just seems like she was just making an underhanded
I mean, do like the Italian people, have a sit down. Call her and have a sit down and say, are you aware that this is going on? If you're going to go, maybe you should address this, or you know, but don't just chastise her in a open forum like that.
Why can't Alicia find out for herself? Maybe Alicia wants to see for herself instead of being told something. But an open letter does nothing more but embarrass the person, and it does no good. If you have beef or you have a question, come see me.
Right. Well, and President Obama better be prepared because it sounds like he's getting one next.
I wish
somebody would give me an open letter. You can send me an email, but you better not give me an open letter because I will catch all kind of crime.
Kai, you know what Vanessa's doing, right? He's setting me up to do an open letter segment on his show.
I think so.
I ask for an open letter because I don't believe it. If I got a problem with anybody, I will come see them.
Like they used to do in the old days. And she mentioned before Alicia Keys was born, this is how it was done. Well, maybe she needs to revert back to some of that behavior.
Or maybe revert to the baddest one, slap my hand or something.
No, he didn't.
I know.
Okay.
I try to keep control of this show. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on Aspen Radio. Call in and join us, 909-265-9189. Email us, bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. And you can check us out. If you have any questions in the chat, hey, throw them up there, and we'll try to get you in.
I could see Alicia Keys getting out the Vaseline now. What did it say? Oh, no, it's on. Taking out the air.
Okay, you're wrong for that. I do not want to see a greasy Alicia Keys. That's all I'm saying. Don't let her pull out the Vaseline.
You don't want to see greasy Alicia Keys. That's on you.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God. All right. Now, since we went to that break, here's the thing. I know, but that always goes there, Kai. We can't do nothing with him. We're going to give Vanessa a little time out.
I'm just thinking, that is why I knocked this chip off my shoulder. He took
me
way back.
Walk around in a circle, shoulder to shoulder.
Oh, I was trying not to say that.
Say something about your mama.
I'm not going to be that petty.
I guess Alice Walker, you know, back in the days participating in such playground activity, so we have to give that up. Now,
She just texted me.
Oh, gosh.
She said, Alice Walker, she ain't Harpo. She can come get some.
All right, you can't start Black on Black Primes on this show. So I just want to remind you,
I'm just saying,
Black
on
Black Crime, there is such a thing as justified. Black on Black Crime is when Black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze Black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. And by the way, I won't let Finesse talk about the Michael Douglas today, so just don't. We know what's going on in the world. I just want to say that, but we're not talking about that. Finesse wanted to, and he's not. Don't get
me
used to
the question. What are we going to talk
about,
Michael Douglas?
Don't say nothing. Don't say it, because you're gonna get muted. Don't say it. So we just want to go into the world of entertainment, because I know there's other stuff to talk about.
I don't know where Michael Douglas been.
We can do that right when I put the outro music on, but just oh no, not right now. Now, here's the thing in the world of entertainment. I don't know if you guys saw the Cheerio commercial. What matter of fact, I should ask Kai. Did you see the Cheerio commercial with the little girl?
I did see it.
Finesse.
That was a cute commercial. I love the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me play the commercial before I explain it to everyone else, because since there's a little controversy in the world about a Cheerio commercial, this is so doggone confusing. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but here's the commercial for Cheerios. What, they didn't give a name for the little girl. I was trying to see. The commercial is called Just Checking. This is Cheerios.
Mom.
Yes,
honey.
Dad told me that Cheerios is good for your heart. Is that true?
It says here that Cheerios has whole grain oats that can help remove some cholesterol, and that's heart healthy.
Jim? Okay, so let me paint the picture of the Cheerios commercial, since they didn't really do a lot of dialogue. So here's what happened. So you have this really cute little kid. It was released earlier this week with an interracial family. Now, while many viewed the ad as a progressive step forward in the advertisement world, you have a biracial child speaking to her white mother, and her black father is laying on the couch. So she asks him about Cheerios, right? And the girls, it's promoting Cheerios is good for the heart. So when the mother, again, who is white, confirms that the cereal is heart healthy, the little girl runs off with delight and a grin, and in the next scene with her father, who is black, is awakened from a nap, she poured Cheerios on his shirt, you know, over his heart, because it promotes great heart health. Now, this 30-second ad was on YouTube. The comments have been disabled, and as of Sunday morning, the video had been viewed by over a million, almost 1.3 million times, with 6,000 likes and about 1,000 dislikes. They had to disable the commercial because people were complaining about the interracial couple and the child, and the black guy that was sleeping, I guess. I don't know. I don't get the ad. But it seemed really harmless to me. But I just thought it was something to talk about, saying, you know, do you think we're really being overly, overly sensitive just because it was an interracial couple? And so I'll go with Kai first on this. What do you think
you
the issue is
with
that?
You would go
with
me first,
commercial?
Huh?
Well, okay, I would go with Finesse, but Finesse, he's a wild card. I don't really know.
No, I'm not. Not on this subject, it's Kai.
You know what, though? Honestly, when I first saw the commercial, it's clear that she's biracial. And I saw that, I said, wow, this is progressive. It's clear that she's biracial and her mom's sitting there at the table who's white. I didn't expect the dad to be black, but I wasn't surprised that he was black. I think in this case, I guess I'm really interested to know what some of the comments are and who they came from, because it's probably assumed that it came maybe from black women. I just don't believe that that might, would be the case, because it could be some angry white men or whomever. But my reaction to the commercial, first I thought the little girl was adorable, and I thought the message was adorable. And I think we're missing the point of the commercial because we're so focused on the, you know, we're so focused on the elements of the commercial. This was, I think, one of those cases. It's just the world we live in. And I wonder if it would have been different if the mom was black and the father was white, or if someone was Latino and someone was, you know, Cuban, or would that have, I'm sure that would have had a whole totally different response, but I wish I could have seen what some of those responses are. But in this case, well, I don't know. I noticed it at first, and then I was like, oh, well, it's the world we live in, you know.
Well, no, no. Okay, so let me not set it up as much as a racial as the man and woman. What it was, a lot of the comments were about him being in slumber, like he's lazy and she's pouring cereal on the kind of thing.
Gotcha.
The imagery is what they were saying was bad more than anything else. Like a mother was sitting at a breakfast table, I guess, or something, and she was, I don't know, was she reading? She was doing something.
Reading,
but yeah, and he was kind of in slumber, and they were saying it made him look like he was lazy, and she, you know. So,
well, she couldn't pour Cheerios on his heart if he was in the bathtub, or, I mean, he had to be sleeping.
Well, it could have been the weekend, too. Like, he could have just been tired, whatever.
That's what
men
do. He should have been scratching something. It would have been perfect, sorry.
That would have been, yeah, she would have poured Cheerios on him there. He was like, what the? It would have been a whole. Okay, I'm sorry. See, we usually
sorry,
use
we
Vanessa
there,
at this
sorry.
Point, so I guess we can't do that, guy.
Okay,
I'm
sorry.
Not saying nothing. Just welcome
to the
dark
like
side.
Vanessa didn't hear us.
I heard you. Just welcome to the dark side. Just welcome to the dark side.
But I'm glad you cleared that
like
up
Vanessa
because
didn't
I thought it was more racial than – I thought it
was
more
was.
About the interracial couple than him laying, you know.
Well, there was
yeah,
comments
they were going
across.
All over the place.
Yeah, there were comments all over the place. There were comments all over the place, and a lot of it was more so racial. There were complaints about black folks saying, well, why he got to be laying on the couch or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some racial comments, too, which you always see, and it was just ridiculous. And what I applaud the folks over at Cheerios for not disabling the commercial, but disabling the comments. They still have
yes.
commercial
they,
run.
Right.
And
they should still run that commercial.
Right, and it's still on the air because it does, if they were able to read the comments, you would see special because the kind of things that were said were unbelievable, especially an innocent child, things that I saw.
Yeah,
they talked about this little girl?
Yeah, yeah. And I won't even get into what they called her. But it just shows you the kind of world we live in, and it kills me when I hear people say that people of color need to get over this race stuff. Because you live it, so you understand. And when you see the kind of things that I said, it was really sad. It was a very, I thought it was a very cute commercial. I love the fact that Cheerios. I mean, there are commercials, they're targeting everybody. So there's black commercials, there's white commercials. People don't even know there's been, like, gay commercials on the air for years. I take it back to the first one was the Volkswagen one where the white guy and the black guy, they were looking for a sofa. I was taking a class at Syracuse at the time, and the teacher told us, he said, that's a directly gay commercial. We didn't even realize it. We didn't even think about it. So there are things there that's directed to a certain group of people because they're trying to get their money, they're trying to get them to support their product. And we see that when you look at the NBA and what they're in the NFL, we discussed this earlier, why they're trying to force somebody to come out and say that they're gay so they could, you know, it's all about the money. It's all about being accepted. So, but it's just sad because I thought the Cheerios commercial was nice. I thought it was,
right.
I thought it was funny. I thought it was cute. It's probably one of the best commercials I've seen in a long time from a cuteness standpoint. And
yeah, that is a cute commercial.
And it's a shame that ignorant folks have done what they've done and said what they've done regarding this commercial.
Okay, now I have to put that in the top 10 of cute commercials, along with the little baby who picks the red Toyota, and they said, let's go with the red, and the baby goes, yay. Like, I think that's
a
cute commercial. Like,
then what about the one?
Commercial.
What about the State Farm commercial where the baby said, am I the only one who knows mime is talking?
Oh, now, okay, that was better. I actually
Oh my gosh,
one.
I love that commercial.
Right.
Which one is that?
So,
it's a State Farm commercial, and the little boy says, "Am I the only one who noticed the mime is talking freaky?"
I've never seen that one.
Oh, you gotta see it. It's adorable.
He's just saying, like, the mime comes over, the baby's in the stroller, and the black mother is talking to the State Farm agent, who's white, in there, an outdoor kind of cafe. And the mime comes over and asks about insurance, I guess. And they're kind of looking at the baby, like, the baby's crazy, and the baby's like, anybody finds this strange that the mime is talking?
Yeah.
Like, it's
and
it's
then,
funny.
And what's interesting, Rome, is at the end of that commercial, he says, "All right, come on, Mom, it's time for my nap." So he's talking about going to sleep, too.
Okay.
I mean, does he
might be able
comment?
To get away with that for being a baby. Yeah. Yeah. But the Internet, again, we don't usually, and I sift through Internet comments, because it's just too racist and crazy. People are extreme,
yeah.
So it's kind of like with some radio shows, like when you take Internet radio shows, they're just extreme all day. And so I never take, you know, out the responsibility of the people who are actually talking from being responsible. You have to be responsible. But I understand from a media standpoint that we have to still kind of be on guard as black people in this world to watch our images. So, and that kind of reminds me of this other news story that George Zimmerman, the guy who shot Trayvon Martin in Florida, his attorneys came out and they just apologized for trying to assassinate Trayvon Martin's character, right? He already died.
After they went on Fox.
Ain't nobody trying to hear that crap.
Right. So Benjamin Crump, the Martin's attorney, released a statement regarding the Zimmerman's attorney's apology. He said, "George Zimmerman's defense team's so-called apology yesterday for manipulating and mischaracterizing information about Trayvon Martin would be laughable in any other context. If this case wasn't about the murder of an unarmed teenager, that would be different. But let's not forget the defense team has spent weeks now trying to engage in a despicable campaign to assassinate the character of a dead teenager in an attempt to influence the jury pool. Thankfully, the judge in this case has sided with the laws of evidence in saying that such information irrelevant to the case, that information is irrelevant to the case. It reminds us all that Trayvon Martin is not on trial, but George Zimmerman for a second-degree murder, which he should be in for first-degree murder. I disagree with that.
Hey, folks, I got to cut out, but I just want to say good show, and I'll check you guys next week. I got to go handle some business, but peace out. And remember, bad boys forever.
Okay.
No, and I just muted him on that one, so just that he's not going to get any more shouts in there on this one. But, Kai, I want to know, what do you think about what they're trying to do?
What George Zimmerman's attorneys are trying to do?
Yeah, his attorneys are really trying to sell that.
Yeah. It's making them look really, really slimy, and it shows that they're not qualified enough to present a good, respectable case. You got to get that low down and dirty, you know, because Trayvon's family has been nothing but professional, nothing but positive, and they're trying to dig up every little piece of dirt. It doesn't matter what he did prior to his death. He was an unarmed. He was murdered. He was an unarmed man who was murdered. So all of the stuff they're trying to dig up, I mean, I say let's start digging in George Zimmerman's past, too. But, you know, the family, Trayvon's family has more class than that. But I'm sure if we dug into his phone records and his pictures and, you know, we probably wouldn't like what we see with him either. But I think that just took the slime to a new level. And then what they try to imply was friends of his beating up a homeless person ended up being two homeless people fighting against each other. What does that have to do with him being murdered?
Wait, and what they said was Trayvon Martin was filming it.
Yeah.
Right? So
I mean, come on,
really? Really just see, That is just – I don't even know where to go with this, but it's a part of assassinating his character. And since, again, with media – if you always put out negative images of black people, true or not, then there's
right.
always a problem with how we're viewed.
Right.
So going back to our earlier segment with the getting a kind of a fair trial generally, black people never do if people like Alice Walker is calling Alicia Keys out for something
yeah.
like you're not smart enough and you need to
right.
read more and you need to check my
right.
blog. Just from doing that is accumulative to how we're seen by everybody
exactly.
else.
Exactly. It makes our job that much harder to prove that we're, you know, that we're not just the stereotypical images that you see on TV, the, you know, the pants sagging, hips wagging, rapping, you know, there's so much more depth to us. But you're right, when we get situations like, you know, Alicia Keys, and so it just sets us back, and it's really unfortunate. It really,
yep.
really is unfortunate.
Yep. And one more news story I want to run past you. A new talk show hosted by a panel of women, another one, is set to debut this summer. Deadline is reporting, it's the website, is reporting that Tamara Mowry, Tamar Braxton, Lonnie Love, AJ, and Andreana, I guess, Bellone, and Jeannie Molly, or Mai, I guess might be her name, is to host a talk show called The Real, which will air on a Fox-owned stations in July. So
Fox?
They're going to start
really?
Airing. Yeah, so Fox now have theirs. Aspire TV, which is Magic Johnson's
mm-hmm.
television station, his enterprises. They have Exhale, which is coming out in a few weeks. We did that story before where
mm-hmm.
Angela Burt Murray and Aaron Jackson and Issa Rae and Melinda Williams, the actress, and Renee
mm-hmm.
Skyler. So they mm-hmm. have theirs coming out, Exhale, and now The Real, which is going to be released on July 8th. Is their set launch date.
So
okay.
are these predominantly a black panel, or is it interracial? Or?
Well, I think on the Fox one, there's, I think they're just copying the View. I think there's Tamar
yeah.
Braxton, Tamar Braxton, Tamara Mowry, and
mm-hmm.
Lonnie Love, and I think the other two, one's Asian, and I think the other one's white. So you have three black, one
mm.
Asian, one white. And then Magic Johnson's is just all black women.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be presumptuous, but we already know what's going to happen. They're going to get really high ratings because they're going to turn in, for the same reason, the entertainment of it all, which is to be expected, but they're going to, I'm sure, look for drama. And if it's not a bunch of women shaking their heads and rolling their necks and stuff that we are perceived to be, the ratings will probably not be well. But if it's turned out, and I hope it doesn't turn out to be that kind of show, but I hope it is successful. But when you mentioned Tamar Braxton, I'm already assuming that there's some drama coming with it.
And you know what? You should assume that there's some drama. You should assume
yeah.
that there's going to be a lot of drama with it.
Yeah.
You know, Tamar Braxton is. I don't really watch the Braxtons, but...
No, I don't either. For that reason. Not to hate on her. I just can't hate. Yeah.
But wasn't she on a show, like a talk show that's Tiny and
right.
Claudia Jordan?
Which is where I heard about her, but I had never seen her until I saw her on that show. And that was enough for me. Let me just say that.
That was enough for everybody, apparently.
Yeah.
So we have to keep that in mind. But I guess that's coming out in July, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I was never a big View fan, so.
Yeah.
Not until Whoopi came on. I like Whoopi, but
yeah.
that's about it.
And maybe it's just me, but they all seem to be annoyed with Barbara White right about now.
They were like, retired already.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Would you hurry up and get out of here?
Hey, if they were like me, they would have been annoyed with Barbara around 10, 12, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I digress.
Yeah.
All right. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. This is Black on Black Crime on S3 Radio. We had the commish here. Kathleen, she had to run. We had Finesse. He should have ran. That's Black on Black Crime right now.
I think it is.
I don't think so. Right. And we have my girl, Kai, you know, the real star of the program. I didn't really have to wait for them to get off for to say this, but I could have muted them at this point.
Oh, okay.
All right. All right. We'll see you again. We'll see you again next week. This is Black on Black Crime. See you later, Kai. Thanks for hanging.
All right. You have a good one.
All right.
All
see
right.
you again
Bye-bye.
Next week, people. Next Monday at 2 o'clock, Black on Black Crime. We'll see you.